5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
President today criticized NATO countries for not paying their, quote, fair share for defense of the alliance. Well, actually, just on the defense of themselves. That's a bit of a misunderstanding of what this story has been the whole time. Mm. NATO signatories are required to spend 2% of their gross domestic product on their own defense to build up their own military. Mm. So the idea there being that the rest of the world, or the rest of NATO, the rest of the alliance, doesn't just have to protect them, because, and then they don't spend any money on their own defense. So they basically, you know, we become the client. Mm-hmm. They become the client state, essentially, of our military, which mm-hmm. is the idea behind that rule. And it happens to be a good rule. And the president in this particular case happens to be right that this is a bad instinct by some of these countries. Now, Germany, interestingly enough, is one of those countries that has not been spending the 2%. And there's a reason for that, because there are treaties that require them not to build up their military for 100 years because of the way they behaved in the 1940s.
Right.
And 30s.
But he says 23 of the 28 member nations not paying what he calls the fair share.
The 2%.
The 2% of GDP.
But, and then some of those cases. So they may want to just address, but there's no question that Germany is a gigantic supporter and a partner in NATO and partner to the United States military. So just by looking at that one metric and then blaming Germany for it is rather short-sighted, because the United States still has bases in Europe and Germany is the centerpiece of that. Hmm. So it's like, you got to be, just read a book is basically the way I would like, what I would like to say to them. Yeah.
Will Montenegro pay its fair share once it gets in?
All right. Now, there is video today of the president blowing past the Montenegrin prime minister for the photo op of the, with all the NATO leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw it again. It's funny. In slow motion, depending on the camera angle you see, if the camera angle is too far camera right, it looks like the president is like just grabbing him, pulling him back and getting in front of him. There's another camera angle that has just emerged that shows him kind of slapping him on the back then pulling him in behind him. Almost like, hey, I got to get ahead of you. Hey, it's okay. It's not quite as egregious as it first looks.
Okay. All right.
I'm just being fair. Yeah. Paul Ball is trying to
be. Well, in like his defense, he thought it was a guy from Mandalay Bay, a rival in Vegas of the Trump casino and
sure
hotel.
Know.
So
Trump doesn't have a casino in Vegas, as you're well aware.
He does not. He hasn't lost any. He hasn't lost as much money. I think his wife has the ownership of the hotel there too, right? I'm pretty sure that's not him.
Here's the president getting all in the face of the nations not paying their 2%.
We should recognize that with these chronic underpayments and growing threats, even 2% of GDP is insufficient to close the gaps in modernizing readiness and the size of forces. We have to make up for the many years lost. 2% is the bare minimum for confronting today's very real and very vicious threats.
I kind of get the sense that either the president is intentionally mischaracterizing this, because it's almost like he's owed the money. That's the way he's playing this. Or he doesn't understand the problem, which I think is a likelihood. Because it's not that they owe NATO the money. It's that they owe themselves the buildup.
Right.
Is what
he definitely thinks they owe money. He thinks it's the same thing as some of his tenants back in the day were a month behind on the rent.
You owe me, okay? Yeah. Mrs. Greenblatt, otherwise you're out. You're out.
It is.
All right. Checking in at
number 4.
A closely watched congressional race got very interesting overnight, right, in Montana?
Mm. Yes.
All right, now you got this. The congressional district of Montana is congressional district number 1 of 1. Mm-hmm. There's only one congressman in all of Montana.
And yet 47% don't know which district they live in when polled.
So he body slammed a reporter for The Guardian, Ben Jacobs, breaking his glasses. And Jacobs approached the candidate. Now, here's listen to the confrontation here. Okay.
We'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have to
speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
But you don't.
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last Jesus time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here.
Jesus.
Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the Guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
If you'd like me to get the hell out of here, I'd also like to call the police. Can I get you guys' names?
Hey, you gotta leave.
He just body slammed me.
You gotta leave.
And the other reporters were horrified, frankly. You saw the Fox News reporter Alicia Acuna say, I was 2 feet away. This was uncalled for. I mean, I saw it all go down.
Mm. And the other piece of this that really is the problem is not only that this guy lost his cool and acted in a way, and what this was an inappropriate question. It was asked about the CBO score of healthcare. It wasn't like, you know, something personal,
right.
Or he wasn't indignant, but he was like, "Hey, we need to get an answer here." And he's posting the guy wants to be a congressman, right? Yeah. I mean, he's entering the arena on his own, and then he takes the guy out. Hmm. Now the problem was, and then there was a statement by the campaign saying, because they knew cameras weren't rolling. We only have audio of this. They knew cameras weren't rolling. And so they said, well, this guy put his microphone too close to the candidate's face, and then he grabbed the candidate's hand, and then it took the Fox News Channel crew, three people there, a producer, a camera person, and a reporter, who all confirmed that none of that happened.
Right.
Because they stood up.
And yeah, good for them, you know.
And you know, and I'm assuming that the candidates probably thought, well, Fox News is there. They won't they won't rat on us.
BuzzFeed was there though too, and they had put out some kind of a
the statement
about it.
And the statement also said that he was a liberal reporter. They made in the statement, so they're like, you know, you know how they are.
But isn't it strange? They've got a bluegrass singer, a political neophyte on one side, running against this guy, billionaire who sold his company to Oracle, made $2 billion, and I guess lost the governor's race and now is here and shoving reporters around. So that's your choice in Montana. There you go. For the one guy or the one woman.
The Republican lost the governor's race in Montana when Trump won it by 20%.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
So think about that. Now, all right. And let's go back to this. Here's Chris Hayes, MSNBC, talking to the reporter.
Wasn't expecting, I wasn't expecting detailed policy, but then again, I also wasn't expecting to be body slapped. Alexis Levinson was standing outside the room and sort of watched me walk in there, and I guess it sounds like then watched me go from vertical to horizontal relatively quickly.
He seems shaken, still talking about it.
And then Paul Ryan, oh boy, Speaker of the House had to be asked about this.
First, let me just say, physical altercations are, there's never a call for physical altercations. There is no time where a physical altercation should occur with the press or with just between human beings. So that is wrong and it should not have happened. Should the gentleman apologize? Yeah, I think he should apologize. I know he has his own version and I'm sure he's going to have more to say, but there's no call for this, no matter what, under any circumstance. The people of the state of Montana are going to decide today who they will send to Congress.
If he wins, will you see him?
If he wins, he has been chosen by the people of Montana, who their Congress is going to be. I'm going to let the people of Montana decide who they want as their representative. That's not our choice. That's the people of Montana who choose that.
Right.
And you see what this guy does when he disagrees with you? I'm not going to stand in his way.
I know, right? And 250,000 people in Montana have already early voted, so looking good for that man to make
Gianforte is probably going to win. Although, you know, he did have a bad track record before, so we'll see. We'll have to see what happens. Among the people I feel sorry for Paul Ryan. I've always liked Paul Ryan. I think he wants to do the right thing, and he would like to have his party
be civilized.
Be civilized and be saved from an onslaught of awkward behavior. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. And I now officially feel badly for Sean Spicer. He got screwed by not being allowed to go in and meet the Pope.
I think so,
the
too.
The one guy who's worked the hardest for the President of the United States and the guy who it would probably mean more to than everybody, potentially not Melania, who's also practicing Catholic and according to her office, but to mostly everybody else in that room.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he is a, you know, he's a practicing Catholic and had just been talking about that since the election, knowing that there'd be a visit. And that just, to me, speaks of just a petty vindictiveness on someone's part to keep him out as they go to the hotel room.
Yeah. The head of his Twitter feed got to go. Like, there are people who got to be in that room who you would say maybe didn't deserve it as much as Spicer.
Certainly no one's worked harder than John Spicer or taken more of it in a way that in an orifice that would, it would be uncomfortable.
He could still visit the general grounds there. They sell the bottle opener, the Pope opener. He can get a nice Pope opener and take home. Usually about $2.95 for one of those.
Pope on a rope.
Yeah, all the nice little souvenirs they have outside.
All right, we've got Violetta Powder-Matic with the WGN traffic trouble spots.
This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot cruise around town looking for the best bang for your buck. Chicago's Best Meal Deals, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
RoCon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN, top 5 at 5 continues. Richard Roper's here.
Number 3.
Baywatch actor Rob Hubel, I already say Hubel, slammed, not body, but just verbally, Mariah Carey for being a diva on the set of the new Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler comedy, The House, in which she just plays herself.
It was bananas. Like I heard she showed up like 4 hours late.
Yeah.
And then when she got to her trailer, she came out and she was like, okay, first of all, there needs to be all white roses in my trailer. Like someone has to go get me white roses. So some PA had to go and buy like $500,000. Not that much, but like a lot.
Oh,
a lot of
God.
White roses and pack her trailer. So then she was like, you guys, I'm so sorry. I have to have those little stuffed lambs. My fans are called lambs. And so I need stuffed white lambs, little baby animals for my trailer. So PA had to go back and buy all these like stuffed lambs.
There's some celebrities when you hear that, you think there's no way that happens with her. I think you all think, you know, I bet she kind of does do that stuff.
This is from Entertainment Weekly. This is where we're getting this.
Oh.
She was hired to like play, like to sing one song. And then she was like, you guys, I don't want to sing that song. They're like, we hired you to sing this song. So then they were going to do this bit where like they shoot her, I think, and they kill her, you know, in the movie. But she didn't want that. She was like, I don't feel like my character would get killed by bullets. Like, what if I deflected them like Wonder Woman? And they're like, Mariah, we don't have time for, you're getting paid so much money. We have you for like 1 day. We don't have time to argue with you. Just do it. And she just like didn't want to do what they wanted her to do.
How about not hiring Mariah Carey? She's also the only one reportedly who, when James Corden first started doing carpool karaoke, and he's told the story, and they went to pick her up and she was like 3 hours late. And then she got in the car and she was like, nobody told me I was going to sing. And he's like, it's carpool karaoke. And she didn't want to sing.
Oh, no. Didn't know what she signed up for.
He was like,
there.
What did you think we were going to do in the car, Mariah?
That is weird.
Did she eventually do it?
I guess she finally, you know, I think someone got a hold of her to the, you know, this is a thing. Like, everybody does it.
Like, the First Lady of the United States did it.
What did you think we were going to do in the car?
One of the best.
Maybe she doesn't know what karaoke is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's. Yeah, it's right. Fuel to the fire.
Checking it out.
Number 2.
Today is the 40th anniversary of the release of Star Wars. How about this?
Wow.
Mark Hamill explained how Star Wars is especially inspiring then and now to kids.
It really is. It's almost moving when you really think about how we've affected so many people, inspired so many people, and that it's generational, that it's handed down. The original fans are grown with children of their own. I'm telling you, it's a gift and something that I will never take for granted. So thank you all so, so much.
Thank you, geeks. Thank you all.
Jeez.
Hey, Kevin Bacon, by the way, says that he was 18 when it came out. He didn't like the movie.
I was at an age where the movie felt to me a little bit like a kid's movie because I didn't want to be into that kind of stuff. And I wasn't really a fantasy guy because what I really liked were this movies of Sidney Lumet and John Cassavetes and Martin Scorsese and those kinds of, like, you know, those were the bread and butter. To me, Star Wars was, you know, I thought it was good, but it was kind of a piece of fluff.
I really prefer Doug Day Afternoon.
Yeah. At least he admits it.
Says the guy who 4 years later played a kid named Ren who tried to bring dancing back to a town that had outlawed it in Footloose. So.
Right.
That didn't exactly go straight into Mean Streets too.
But it is amazing how it stood.
But he's right.
Time.
That's what it was considered. It was considered a cowboy western, basically,
right.
In outer space.
Opera, right.
Yeah, Buck Rogers.
But the first time you saw it, you're like, wow.
But yeah, it was revolutionary.
Because it was also had a sense of humor about itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was you know, beautifully constructed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
That's funny, though.
At least he admits it, too.
And I don't know. You know what? I wouldn't if I were him.
Number one.
So last night on Stephen Colbert, Paul Simon stopped by and they asked him to play 59th Street Bridge Song, which is feeling groovy. You know, the song everybody thinks is feeling groovy. Mm. And Paul Simon said, I'm not going to do it. It's outdated. Mm. So Stephen Colbert updated the lyrics.
Hello, lamppost. Nice to see ya. We might get bombed by North Korea. We're getting close to World War III. So run for the shelters, feeling groovy. Kellyanne Conway makes no sense. And even if Trump goes, we're stuck with Mike Pence. Plus, he might win the big one in 2020. Nevertheless, all is groovy.
All right, there you go. All right, let's close this thing up. Richard Roper is here. He's going to review three movies I think you're going to want to know about. First of all, the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Baywatch. The boot of the original television series. And then War Machine, the new Brad Pitt movie where he plays General Stanley McChrystal. Mm-hmm. Ooh, this could be very interesting. All that coming your way. But first, we've got Kim Gordon with the WGN News, and that is 2 minutes away.
The top five at five.